Philippians 2, verse 14 and 15. When you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Alright. The word of God reads, do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless. The Son of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, underline this, among whom ye shine as light in the world. Amen? Thank you, Lord, for your word. I want to speak to you today with the title, The Glory of God on Display. The Glory of God on Display. Now, keep your finger there, but we'll come back to it in just a minute. But now let's turn to Isaiah 11 and 6. Isaiah, the 11th chapter, the 6th verse. Amen. Isaiah, the 11th chapter, the 6th verse. The word of God reads, in that day, the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat. The cat and the yearling will be safe with the lion. And a little child will be. Just going to set up the second chapter of Philippians just so you can kind of point to one thing that the Lord has shown me that I want to preach on. Let me say this. When you go to Brazil, you will notice something that has not changed in all of the history since they've been building the first zoo to the one that they have now. All the animals must dwell in separate habitats. Separate cages, separate environments. This is nothing new. We see it all the time. This is not newsworthy. Fox News and CNN will not show up to report on a regular day at the zoo. Right? Oh, everything was normal. Everybody separated. Amen? Alright. Now, if the zoo sets up where the lions, tigers, bears, chickens, and everybody is dangerous to each other, we're all in the same cage, the same area together, then that would possibly be something that would be worthy of reporting on because we would consider that to be highly unusual. Amen? Amen. But that doesn't necessarily perplex the soul to where people would have to stop and shake their head and ponder what they are seeing. But if you were to decide to take your child to the zoo, your five-year-old, and his pet lamb is Fluffy, and somehow the child and Fluffy end up in the same area where all the predators are, and the child says to the lion and the lamb and the goat, and out there, and all the creepy, horrible things that are, you know, terrible predators. Listen, y'all, why don't we go over and sit under that tree and hang out because it's hot? And we should all get in the shade. The lion and everybody and out there, they just walk on over and follow after the child. And sit under the tree. This is my pretty elementary example, but I got to set this up. If that were to happen, then every single news media outlet would be reporting on that because that would perplex the soul to the point to where people would have to stop and think the palm button would be pressed on the ground, it would be everywhere because everyone would say, this is not possible.
Right?
Right? The whole world has to stop to try to figure out what was happening. Amen? Now, same chapter. Isaiah 11, skip down to book number 8 verse. The baby will play safely near the
type form, glory of a snake you see. Two babies playing together, or a baby playing with a snake. One we're used to. The other one was completely blow our minds. I'm up here, Dad. All right. Babies don't play with a lot of snakes. That's dangerous. Now, notice that this passage here in Isaiah, the 11th chapter, has the predator animals paired with their natural prey. You notice that? You see that? Meaning that they are different, but not the same. Amen? So this could be kind of plain. You already know that these creatures that we have paired up here, that are there, don't play well together, including the baby and the snake. Amen? But this passage actually speaks of the future millennial kingdom. The future millennial kingdom reign of our Lord, our awesome Lord Jesus Christ, when everything will one day be totally under His control. Amen? Now, this won't happen until Jesus comes back and He's sitting on the throne over the whole earth. Right now, the kingdom of God is, it was, it has not already happened yet in its full manifestation. Amen? But this time is coming. But we don't see this today. However, the expectation is that the church, where Christ is ruling and reigning in their lives, the redeemed of God, in spite of how different we are, the expectation from God is that we ought to be people who are getting along with each other. And there, as I'm going to point to you, is one way that the glory of God is seen. Amen? Yeah. Now, Romans 15, 5 through 7. I'll give you an answer. Romans 15, 5 through 7. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 15, 5 through 7. Give me some time. The end of Romans, right before the 16th chapter. Now the God of patience, verse 5 says, and consolation, grant you to be like-minded, one towards another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one heart glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore ye receive one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Amen? Back. Verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded. Underline the word like-minded. But God, let me make this happen for you so you can understand what's happening in context. Because in the 14th and 15th chapter, what we're seeing is the body of Christ has a tendency to be separated on secondary matters that are not big issues. And the Lord is saying, listen, squash that stuff. It's getting in the way of my glory. Amen? Now it's not patience. Patience meaning endurance. The endurance that allows you to put up with people. And consolation. The comfort and encouragement that God gives you while He gives you the endurance to put up with people. Grant you. Give to you. Supernaturally empower you to be what? As we said before, like-minded. That word like-minded is phileo. You've heard it preached before because Sam, Bishop, Brother Sam and Pastor Doug already preached. Sam Morgan and Pastor Doug already preached. But let me give you what God gave me on this. Like-minded here means phileo, to feel or to think, to have an opinion of oneself. To think of oneself to be modest, not let one's opinion of himself exceed the bounds of modesty. The main definition here in the context of what we're seeing in Romans coming from the 14th chapter is not just saying it when it comes to doctrine. That's not the point he's trying to make. What he's saying is that you may have your doctrinal position, but if you don't have the same humility as Jesus Christ, you're going to mess up. Oh. You're going to blow it. Okay? Like-minded is not saying this as in on every fine point of theology. Not every fine point or believer stand on exactly the same positions as everybody. Although there should not be major differences. Amen? Because that's chaos and confusion. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying here is the main idea here is not saying this, but rather to be mindful of your opinion of yourself and not to think of yourself better than someone else, so that saying this is not a requirement for you to get along. Oh. Are you getting this? When you look at the context, when you pull out of context, when you look at the context, 14 and 15, what we're seeing here is that we've got a bunch of people, especially in Romans, the letter of Romans, what he's saying is he's got all these folks that are coming from different places, Jews and Gentiles, and now we're going together, and everybody has an idea. But if we're not humble, we're going to blow it. Okay? Now that God faces the conversation, grant you to be like-minded one toward another. See, that cannot be saying this in thought as far as scripture only, but one toward another. We're talking about relationships with people here. Okay? One toward another, according to Christ, from the higher coming down to the lower, from the authority of Christ to the church that he has purchased his body, from the head flowing down from Christ to the members of his body. Because why would your head cause the body to fight each other? That doesn't make sense. So here's the thing. This can only happen when the body is tuned in to our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, and not ourselves and our secondary issues. I'm going to say that again. This can only happen when the body is, a key word, tuned in. That means that's what makes us effort. Tune in into the head who is Christ and not our secondary issues. Yeah, let's be honest, we all have it. Amen? We all have it. First base. Now that God takes into consolation, grant you the right mind one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that in order, according to Christ Jesus, the example of Jesus Christ, that in thinking with its humility, we will be able to, that he may with there, that's why we give one mind. But this one's a little different. Ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God. This one mind is more like to be on one accord, to be unanimous in our consent. We all glorify God together. We all give God praise together, as David is saying, from the heart. And then we worship God from the heart, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 15 is at the end of Romans, so all of the doctrinal arguments and positions have been laid out in the previous chapters. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He's already set that up for us. But now he's saying, don't let your petty disagreements get in the way of your oneness in worship. Where you're one mind and one mouth and one heart are united and your united consent. We're really together from a place of our heart to where our differences are not causing worship to be disjointed and fractured. Amen? Amen. So here's the picture. Historically, you got what I said. The Jews said God saved. Then the Gentiles they got saved. And they're all worshiping the Lord and saying, hallelujah! And it's sincere. There's no nastiness. It's like when your children come to you, they say that they love you. And you appreciate it not only because of what they're saying to you, but you notice there's no animosity between the two of them. Okay? Amen. That he has one mind and one heart glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Now, because of that, wherefore, verse 7, receive ye one another.
Hear them.
Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us. Stop just there.
Thank you.
Receive here means to take into one's company. I receive. You receive me. The church receives each other. As Christ also received us. How did he receive us? Most wonderful? Where did he find us? Knowing everything we ought to know about God? Doing everything we ought to do? How did he receive us? What dungeon did he pull us out of? I like that. What low down, very stinking prison were we in when he found us? Wherefore, receive. I can love you right where you are. While God is working on the process of you, because I never forgot the process of me. Yeah. I hear you. You know what I mean? Okay. One more. Receive one another. As Christ also received us, and did the thing I want to see, turn to the glory of God.
Yeah.
Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
To the glory of God.
Yeah.
This is a thought that helps us to be in harmony with one another. See? He's saying here that there is something at stake when we don't receive one another. He's saying that something can happen when we do receive one another. God is glorified. Something that says we receive one another so that God will get the glory. What are you saying, Pastor? So that God's glory will be put on display. Like I said, the Bible says, amen. When the Bible says this, I like this guy, he always hits the point pretty precisely. One more principle emerges from all this. In spite of any differences that might exist concerning secondary matters, we should receive one another just as Christ also received us. This, he says, is the basis for reception in the local assembly. Okay? He says, we do not receive on the basis of denominational affiliation. Sound there, brother? You a Baptist, you a this, you a Methodist, you a... No, we don't do Methodist. We don't do that. What's that all about? We're separate from you because my business is so-and-so.
No.
We don't receive on the basis of denominational affiliation, nor do we receive on the basis of social status.
Thank you.
Classism in the church.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, their kids just don't look too tiny when they come. Have you seen them? Bless their hearts. We don't hang with them. We go with them. Don't look like they're doing too good. We know they have that song. Yeah, we can distance ourselves from church members like that, even though they're sharp.
No.
Simply. Their status is not the same as our status. You think so? Okay. There may not be a problem in this church. Maybe it's on Facebook. Here's the other one. We do not receive on the basis of spiritual maturity.
Lord.
We should receive, let's talk about that in a minute. We should receive those whom Christ has received in order to, because it says, to promote the glory of God.
Wow.
To promote the glory of God. Now that last one, spiritual maturity, is interesting because some folks will not receive other Christians, but pay for redeemed Christians because they're not at the same level as them. They're spiritually immature. Like, you know, it's like we forgot when we came to church for the first time, you know, we couldn't find Genesis and nothing we use the table of Thomas.
The whole thing depended on
mature believers, God help us, talking to me now. Yeah, talking to you now. Folks that sit in their Bible sometimes, folks that listen to my preaching, folks, you know, have been, you know, the seventh congregation or positions in church, whatever have you, you know, the mature believers, one thing that tends to trip up mature believers is sometimes they can develop a know-it-all spirit.
Help me not to be the show off. Help me not to, you know, put it all out there and mess things up and folks are
looking at me like, you know, what kind of spirit is that?
Amen.
The church is supposed to glorify God. The goal and purpose is His glory being put on display through His people that He lives in. When you write out everything concerning secondary issues to the point where you are creating disunity, you are taking the light of glory and dimming it.
Yes.
Because if humility is not there, then ugliness will come. Okay? I'm talking to me. Everybody takes it, me too. Alright, now, back to Philippians 2, 14 and 15. Just go back to this whole chapter. That's when the title will come down. Am I too long?
Praise God, no.
It's been 3 months, sorry. Alright, Philippians 2, 14 and 15. Let's just kind of finish this part here. Do all things without murmuring and disputes, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom we shine as lights in the world. Now, as Brother Dave, I said today, who preached what on this chapter? So I wanted to make sure I knew what it was, but I didn't listen until this morning. And Pastor Doug brought up something I think is very key that needs to be said. Amen, is it okay? Growing up, murmurings and disputings. He said it was like internal grumbling. You remember that?
Yeah.
And complaining that bubbles up inside. Amen? He holds on to it. Grumbling and complaining. Discontent. Okay. Internal grumbling complaint. Okay? Well, that's different. He said, blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a perverse nation among whom he shines as light. So, what I'm saying here is if you're not careful to put the grumbling and complaining in check, and what's bubbling on the inside of you is not brought under the control of the Holy Spirit, but you are putting every thought and subjecting that to the power of God, then what's going to happen is what's bubbling on the inside of you will begin to seep out of you. Are you hearing me? Amen. So if you fixate on these thoughts, and everything you feel upset about people or your circumstance, what will happen is that you will come to a place where it will seep out of you, where your now internal dispute becomes external. And the church will be seen as a bunch of people who are unhappy with their circumstances and unhappy with each other. So in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, God wants us to shine as Christ, display His glory. Amen? And if you're not being careful to guard against what's internally inside you, it'll come on the outside of you, and everybody will be complaining and grumbling and mad at everybody. Amen? So here's the thing. If I want to shine my light and I want it brightest, let's just say I walk into a room. And if I walk outside, I take my cell phone light. Yeah, kind of bright, but not extremely bright. Let me tell you why. Because if I'm in a room with a lot of light,
come on,
that's no idea. Then you don't notice the light from my phone too much. But if I step into a room where I pull down all the shades, board up all the windows, close up all the doors, yank all the power. Then the brightest thing that you will see will be my phone, because in darkness the light shines bright. I hear. So let me just go with me on it. Whatever peace and order that we are experiencing right Are you telling me? So I have to say to you, what if we're praying for the wrong things? What if it's God's will to allow these dark times that we're walking through? Huh? What if God just wants to wake up his church from their sleep? What if God just wants to get his church to display the glory of God? Be kind of glory of God. What if the example of a triune God that has been loving and unified despite the differences that we have, in the darkest times, we see the church in the darkest times loving each other and giving each other, enduring each other. Where everybody else is going, why are you praying out here? You don't know something over there. I don't know. That's totally reflective. They're all the same thing with differences. And nobody's standing by the heart.
The God of the Hebrews does all these miracles to free Israel from the grip and the chains
No rest in front of God.
Where I have been to you and you have been to
we are not supporting each other through what we are dealing with right now in this time. Persecution.
Yeah.
Virus issues. Pandemic. Political challenges that we face. Huh? How does God forget the glory if we're separated? Huh? How are we encouraging each other through what we're going through? We got believers being persecuted with their jobs.
Yeah.
Folks losing their jobs because of what they stand for, what they believe.
Right.
Huh? Persecuted in their families, persecuted coming from their people that they're close to, their neighbors are persecuting them politically. If you don't put Black Lives Matter on the front of your door, I'm just we ain't good. Different than you. Maybe they'll let me in their case.
Yeah.